saved tonight, that is your home. I hope you know the Lord tonight. And we're going to continue our family month this evening. It's been a good family month so far. I'm telling you, it's been great. A lot of things that we've been doing that I think is building us up as families. And tonight we're going to get to have a little family fun after the service tonight. I heard a saying one time that has really always stuck with me, and I really believe this. A family that plays together stays together. And I've heard it pray also. Amen. Both of them. And I think it's vitally important. So tonight we're going to get a little playing time in after the service. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. And this is where we're going to be at this evening, in the 24th chapter of Joshua. And encourage you to follow along as we preach this sermon. I think this sermon will be a blessing to you and your family. You know, it's just good to see so many people here on a Sunday night. I've heard Bob say, and it's true, a lot of places, Sunday evening service is a dying thing. When I drive by churches, I look at their sign, and it just marvels when I see Wednesday and Sunday morning, and then nothing for Sunday night. I'm just like, look at that. That church ain't having it. That church ain't having it. And so it really speaks a lot to you guys' heart, where it's at, and your diligence to serve the Lord. Amen. So it's good to be here tonight. Joshua chapter 24, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to get to our text and preach what God has laid on my heart tonight. Now, during this time, Israel, these were some exciting times that they were living in. They had defeated their enemies, and they had claimed the promised land. Each of the tribes had received their inheritance, and now they could settle down and enjoy life a little. It was a time of hope, a time of prosperity and blessings. And yet at the same time, it was a very dangerous time for these people. There was the danger that they would forget where they came from, how they had gotten to where they were, and what the Lord had done for them. There was a danger that they would begin to adopt the idolatrous religion of the Canaanites who still lived around them. There was the danger that they would fall into a state that I'm afraid many in our churches have fallen into, and that's a state of complacency. A state in which they might feel that they could let down their guard just a little. And yet these were dangerous times for Israel indeed. And in the midst of that, this is what we're going to read tonight in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua, he is going to stand up and he's going to deliver to the people a challenge from the Lord Almighty himself. And God wants his people to dedicate themselves to him and to his work. And today in our Sunday school lesson, we see the same thing that God expected the Israelites when they were building the tabernacle. Look, God expects his people to work. He always has. And so in this chapter, Joshua is going to give this charge. And although this was a dangerous time, keep in mind today in our society, the church is living in very dangerous times as well. We're seeing the church develop an appearance that is more and more like that of the church that you will read of the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter number 3. A church that has everything it needs except for the presence, power, and glory of God. Now, I'm grateful that, you know, I walk in this place and I feel the presence of God among you people here. But I'm sad to say that's not the common thing, it seems like, in the church world anymore. So tonight, just as the Lord issued a call through Joshua all those centuries ago for his people to make up their minds as to whom they would serve, that's what we're going to see tonight. And I think that that's what we need to understand in the day and age of the church, is who are we as families, who are we going to serve? And so let's get into this chapter here in verse number 1. This is the second time that Joshua is going to address the Israelites. In chapter 23, He addresses them once then, and then he's going to address them again in chapter 24. In verse number 1, it says that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. Keep that in mind. Anytime you come to church, we are presenting ourselves before the Lord as a gathering. And verse number 2, it says that Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time." Now you listen to me tonight, the young ones here, there was a global flood upon this earth at one time, despite what the scientists and a lot of the people who are rewriting the textbooks today, the Bible establishes the fact that there was indeed a flood. And Jesus establishes this fact in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, when he says, "For as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." And so we know that the flood happened. And Joshua knew that the flood had happened. Let's face the facts. Joshua was not alive during the time of the flood. But he knew it had happened. And underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Every one of us in this house tonight, before we got saved, we were in bondage, we were alienated from God, and we were serving other gods.
Yeah.
And in verse number 3, he says, "And I took your father Abraham." Now this is what God did here. It says, "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac." Now, you notice there, what he did there is he took, he led, and he multiplied. That is very common spiritual growth for the Christian. God has got to take us out and cause us to be separate from the life that we once lived. And when that happens, then of course, as it says there, we are led by God, and then we can truly multiply. And that's what the visitation and soul winning program that we also are laying out for the church. God wants us as His people to multiply.
Yes, amen.
He wants Christians producing Christians. That's what He wants. And so it says in verse number 4, "And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt." Now keep in mind, Egypt is always a picture of the world that you and I live in. And anytime the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt, it was a very sad thing that they wanted to do that. Now look at verse number 5. "I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt." Now we just got done studying this in our Sunday school, how God sent plagues upon the land of Egypt. And my, did He not show Himself a mighty God when He did that?
Amen.
And it goes on to say, "According to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season." In verse number 8, "I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you." Notice what his intention was to do. To curse you. "But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Any weapon that shall be formed against us shall not prosper, brothers and sisters."
Yes.
He says, "Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Don't ever forget the grace and mercy of God that was bestowed upon you and I when Christ died for our sins, when you and I did not work for it, we did not deserve it, we cannot do anything to merit it. You cannot work for the substitutionary, sacrificial laying down of the Lamb of God upon the cross. Amen. You cannot work for that. You cannot deserve that. But I'm grateful that the grace of God and the mercy of God did it for you, and it did it for I. And I'm so glad that as a result of that, now I want to serve God. Look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. You see, sometimes people put the cart before the horse. You see, God loved me. I only love God because He first loved me. Yeah. And here He died on the cross when I did not deserve it. I did not earn it. And now, because of such grace that was given to me, I now fear the Lord. And now it says, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away some things that we need to put away today. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now here's my text. Verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You walk in many Christian homes, you will find something very similar to this somewhere in a Christian home. And Joshua's saying, look, you've got a choice. You can choose who you're going to serve. But as far as me, number one, me, starts with you. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In verse 16, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And he goes on and on. In verse number 19, it says, Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God, He is a jealous God, He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. What I want to preach on tonight is verse number 15, where Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is time for us families to make up our mind who we're going to serve. God, we come before you tonight. And Lord, this passage of Scripture has grabbed a hold of me, Lord. And I pray, God, oh Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would anoint me right now, Lord. Father, I would love to articulate exactly what it is that you have shed abroad in my own heart, the truth that is contained in this chapter. Lord, I pray that as I speak on the outside, God, you will deal with the hearts of those that are sitting here tonight. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we're not going to re-look at these verses, but as we read down this passage of Scripture, in verses 1 through 13, like I said, we're not going to read it all over again, but what Joshua is trying to get the Israelites to do is he's trying to get them to set a time of contemplation. Now that's what you and I need. We need a time in our families to contemplate what it is that the Lord has done in our lives. I think this is part of the solemn assemblies. Is it's a time to be solemn and to truly contemplate what God has done for us. And so Joshua begins his remarks by calling them to a time of contemplation. He wants them to remember who they are, where they came from, and what the Lord has done for them. Now, I've often said this many times. If you look at the Old Testament, on and on and on, and even into the New Testament, what you will find is that oftentimes God's people would get into some serious trouble when they would forget what God has done for them.
Right.
And why is that so vital? I'll tell you why it's so vital. Because if we forget what God has done for us in the past, we will fail to have the faith of what He will do for us in the future.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You see, it's what God has done in the past for me that enables me to have a great knowledge that He is there and He's not going to forsake me nor leave me, because He never has.
Amen.
You see? So continuing to remember what God has done for us is such a key to this. Contemplating. Contemplating. In this passage of Scripture, as Joshua goes down the list, he's encouraging them to contemplate God's power in their lives. And let's think about that for a moment. God's power in your life. Now, I can name several ways that God has manifested His own power in my life. And you can probably think of the time that God has manifested His power in your life. I can tell you the first and foremost thing, when He saved me, He manifested His power in a mighty way to me. Because He saved me from a place that I deserved, and that was hell. That was power. And so Joshua is reminding them about God's choice of calling them. And in this, he talks about in verse number 6, he says, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea. Well, what happened at the Red Sea? Was it not there that God manifested His power to the Israelites when He swallowed Pharaoh's army and drowned them and they got to walk across dry land?
Yeah.
My, what manifestation of the power of God.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you tonight, He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And He will do that just for you and I. As we go against our enemies, the church has got plenty of enemies in this world. And as we go against the enemies, we are to still love them. We are to still pray for them. We are to still share the gospel with them. But my, it's just a great source of knowledge to know that God's going to give us power over the enemy. And that's what we can't forget. We've got to continue to contemplate, meditate on the power of God in our lives. The second thing is that you read this passage, is Joshua's trying to draw their attention to God's presence among them. God's presence. Now I think of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 when He gave the great commission to the church. And He said, go ye therefore, make disciples of people of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And then He says, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you, and lo, I am with you until the end.
Amen.
Look, Jesus is with us today, guys. He's with us in the church, and He's not going to leave us. As we look upon the work that we've got to do as the body of Christ, I can tell you that we can move forward because He is the captain of our faith and of our salvation. We cannot forget the presence of God in our lives. The presence of Him in our lives. You say, well, how do I feel God's presence? Where is God's presence manifest in your life? Well, I can tell you first and foremost, it's in prayer. You will get the presence of God in prayer. You will feel the Holy Spirit. I know there's times where I'm praying that I get the sweetest comfort in my life. Because I know that I'm talking to a true living person that's up there on the throne.
Yeah.
He is sitting on the throne tonight, and He is sovereign, and He's got it all under control. And I can rest in that comfort to know that He's always going to be with me, His presence. I can tell you this book that I hold in my hand tonight, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, in the deepest and darkest and doomiest and gloomiest and horriblest times in my life, I've been able to go to this book and feel God's presence in a way that I cannot feel anywhere else.
Yes, indeed.
I can feel His presence in this book. And that's why I like to just roam through it. And just roam through it. I ain't got no rocking chair at home. But if I did, I'd just rock away. Amen. I would just rock away with the wonderful truth of the Word of God. Okay? So we can feel God's presence in this book. And of course, as we get together here as brothers and sisters, Jesus said, where two or more, I'm there. And that's where tonight, I believe we can feel God's presence in the church house. They were to contemplate God's presence in their lives. But look at verse number 13. Verse number 13. God says through Joshua here, he says, I have given you a land. Now there's something you need to understand tonight. Everything you've got in your life, you were given it by God. He is the giver of every perfect and good gift. And he has given us every blessing that we as a family and as a church enjoy. The moment that we forget what God has done for us and start and giving ourselves the glory is when that's a problem. God has given us every blessing we've got. And there's anything that we want to teach our kids and our family, it's to have a thankful heart to the very God who has given us all things. Yeah. This land that you and I get to soak up tonight, the United States of America, is a land that was given unto us. It is a land that we ought not want to sell out. Amen. It is a land that we ought to be able to stand up with Holy Ghost convictions and say, no, this is the land that God has given us. And we will fight for it. We will not sit back and just keep our mouths shut. We will stand up for this Amen. Great land. This land was founded on Christian principles. Yeah. And now as we begin to see a new justice that will be elected and selected, I just wonder, will it be for the Christians' benefit or for in our favor? Or what will it be? I don't know. But I can tell you this. God has given us this land. And we need to just be appreciative of it. The thing that Joshua is drawing their attention to here is that we need to contemplate God's provisions in our lives. Not only His power, not only His presence, but His provision. Now, tonight, everything I've got by the grace of God. The clothes I wear on my back, the church house that I'm sitting in tonight and preaching from, God is the one that put a call on my life. I didn't call myself to preach. I didn't call myself to be a pastor. God gave me that calling. Everything you enjoy is God's provision in your life. The psalmist would once say it this way. He would say, I've grown old and I've never seen any of the righteous begging for bread. God's provision is powerful. He will always provide for us. Always. That's why Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, what you're going to eat and what you're going to put on and what you're going to... Look, God does this for the lilies of the field. He feeds the birds. He's going to take care of us. And if there's anything I want us tonight to understand as families, it's that God will provide for you and your family. Of course, He will use us to go to work and do it. But even then, I'm thankful for the job that God has given me 3 years ago. Yeah. Amen. That job I've got now, there's days that, oh, you don't even understand. There's days, I'm sure you do, because you may have one like it. There's days I just want to kick the bucket and say, my goodness, this is frustrating. Brother Bob hears a lot about it. No. My wife even more so, no. But I'm going to tell you something. God gave me that job. And He's been able to provide for me and my family. The Bible makes it very plain. You don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. That's some good politics to make sure we get instilled in whatever, whoever yes. we vote for. All right? And I can tell you this, Bernie Sanders does not honor that verse.
That's right.
Throw that in for free. All right? Look, God's provision in our lives. We got to move on here. As Joshua draws the attention to the Israelites on what they need to be contemplating and meditating on, then he brings them to a place that none of us really like a whole lot. And that's a place of confrontation. A place of confrontation. Who of us just love confrontation? I know I don't. I deal with it a lot in a week's time. But none of us really like it. And yet he draws them to that in verse number 14. He says in verse 14, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and served the Lord. He's telling him, look, you need to put away some things. And that is kind of some confrontation. The first thing that the Israelites here are confronted with is a command. He tells them to fear. Fear God. Fear God. The Bible makes it very plain that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
That's right.
Look, you want to know why people many times does not get saved? It's because there's no fear of God in their eyes. They don't fear a holy God. When a sinner gets to the place that he or she is convicted that they are a sinner, they have broken God's holy law, and that a God is angry and wrathful with them because he is holy. He is holy. And when they get a picture of that, that they actually deserve hell, there ought to be some fear. Amen? That's why the scripture says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from iniquity. Okay? And so Joshua, he's just doing that same thing. He's telling them, look, you need to fear the Lord. So they're confronted with a command here. But in verse 15, we've often read this passage. We've seen it many times. It's a very good scripture to prove what we here at Free Will Baptist Church stand for, and that's called free will. Yeah. All right? And in verse number 15, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now, not only are they confronted by command, but they are confronted by a choice. Look, you're either going to choose those gods that you served on the other side of the flood who couldn't save you, or you're going to choose me. But you're going to make a choice.
Right.
You're going to make a choice. Now listen to me tonight. It'd be lovely for me to be convinced in my heart and mind that every person sitting here tonight is saved. But you know what? I'm not God. I don't know that.
That's right.
But here's one thing I can tell you. You will take your last breath one time.
That's right.
And when that happens, your choice would have already been made.
Right.
And you either have chosen Jesus Christ and His perfect substitutionary sacrifice in your place for your sins.
Thank you, Jesus.
Or you will reject what Christ has done for you. But I can tell you this. Now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
This is why Joshua, he uses the same word here that the Apostle Paul would use in 2 Corinthians 6 when he says, now, therefore. Look, this is a command of choice that the Israelites are going to have to get one way or the other. Matter of fact, we can think of 1 Kings chapter 18 when they were confronted with the same choice when Elijah said, look, stop lingering upon two opinions. Either choose God or choose Baal. And we all know what happened. God manifested His power. Fire came down on that altar. And I'm telling you what, God showed Himself strong and mighty that day. And the Lord will do that every time. He's always going to do what He's always done. And that is turn things around and manifest His power in the lives of His people. They are confronted with a choice. And then they are confronted with this challenge here. Okay? He's challenging them. You're either going to serve me or you're not going to serve me. All right? And so we think of many people in the Old Testament. They were confronted with a challenge and a choice. When we think of the prophet Daniel. Okay, Daniel, here he is. He's a man of God. He's praying. He's doing his regular prayer. The Bible says that he was still going at that window there, right there in Jerusalem. And even after the king gave the commandment to stop praying, Daniel continued to do what he's always done. And he went to that window and he kept on praying to the God of heaven. And that choice, Daniel had a choice there. I'm either going to serve God or I'm going to be a coward and I'm going to be more scared of what man can do to me than what God can do to me. And I'm telling you, he made the choice.
Yes, he did.
And God delivered Daniel in several ways in the book of Daniel. He delivered them through Hebrews. They were faced with a choice. Either bow down or be thrown in the fiery furnace. And what did they choose? They choose to serve God in the midst of dangerous persecution. Mm-hmm. And yet we know what happened. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, the Bible does say. And we see in that day, they were thrown in that fiery furnace, and They couldn't even smell that they were in the fire. Yeah. Look, Jesus said, fear not him which can destroy your body, but destroy your soul and your body in Gehenna. We are faced with a choice today. And everybody's about choices. Oh yes. Everyone's about the mother who wants to abort her baby's choice. Right? Everyone's about that. I'm going to tell you something. We as Christians, we have a choice. And in our families, we have a choice too. You know, I'll just say this. I heard this growing up a lot, and now that I've got my own family, it's kind of ironic when children will say something like this. But he or she gets to do this, or but he or she gets to... That's right, they do, don't they? Our family's going to do something different.
Yes, think about that.
Amen? We are going to make a different choice. Yes. And tonight, that is my challenge and charge to all of us as families. Is choose you this day whom you're going to serve.
Right.
Jesus would approach the congregation there in the book of Revelation, and he would tell them, you're lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. You know what they were doing? They were doing the very same thing that the Israelites were doing in 1 Kings. They were lingering upon two opinions. The greatest thing that destroys Christianity and Christian lives is inconsistent, hypocritical living.
That's right.
Destroys our testimony as Christians. And this is why over and over in the Bible, including in this passage of Scripture, he's going to say, choose. Make a choice. And be consistent with it. Now, as he goes on, verses 16 through 18, not only are they going to have a time of confrontation, but they're going to have a time of consecration. Now this, I think this is what our solemn assemblies are about, is a time of consecration where we're going to make some resolutions. Look at verse number 16 in this passage. After Joshua confronts them with a challenge and a command, now the people make a resolution. In verse 16, it says, the people answered. You see, here's their resolution. And they answered, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That really sounds like what the Apostle Peter would say in John 6. When the other disciples left, Peter said, Lord, whom shall we go away to? You have the words of everlasting life. And Peter and the other apostles, they continued to follow the Lord. That was their resolution. And here's what I want to ask you tonight. We as families, I guarantee you every single family sitting here within the sound of my voice tonight have got lost family members in your family. You do, don't you? If the truth be known, many of us have family members who once walked with God and was in church, but is no longer there anymore. Let me ask you this tonight as a family. If everybody in your family walks away from God, are you still going to make a resolution to serve God? You see, this is where Jesus said, if you have more affection for mother or father or daughter or son for me, you are not worthy of me. We have to be careful. It is so awesome to have close families. But don't ever let your family tear you away from serving God. We need to make a resolution tonight that if nobody else is in the church house next Sunday, me and my family are going. Me and my family are going. I don't care if I'm the only one there, we're going to go serve God.
That's
and we're
right.
going to serve the Lord. We've got to make some resolutions. And so in verse number 17, it says, for the Lord our God. And notice this resolution here that the Israelites are going to make. It says, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. There it is. You know what they're doing here? They're remembering what it was that God did for them. You want to know what will keep you and your family continuing to go? is pass on the baton of what God has done for you to your children. And command them to pass it on to their children. Look, I'm all for revival, but it's got to be generational revival.
Yes, amen.
It's got to be. Revival that truly affects not only you, not only your kids and your family, but your future generations as well.
Dear Lord.
And that is where the only way that's going to happen is if we don't forget the Lord. See, sometimes we'll have a tragedy happen in our lives. And then when God gets us through the tragedy, we're all hunky-dory now. Then, during the tragedy, we're on our knees praying. We're in the church more than ever. We're in the Bible. And then when that problem stops, and when things have gotten better in your life, then it seems like we don't need that spare tire anymore. And that is what God, through Joshua, is charging the hearts of the Israelites. Is look, God has shown His power, His presence, and His provisions in your life. But if you're not careful, you will forget them. And so that's where they say, no. We remember what God has done. And we're going to continue serving the Lord. And so they have a resolution. And tonight, as God's people, we need to make a resolution. And we don't have time to go into the rest of this. But in verses 24 through 28, the reaction of the people. They make this stone for a witness of what it is that God did for them. And they have truly made a choice today. Whom they're going to serve. Don't you think it's time for you and I and our families to make up our minds who we're going to serve?
Yeah.
We're not going to be wishy-washy. We're not going to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We're not just going to use God whenever it's convenient to. We're going to be in prayer. We're going to be in our Bibles. We're going to be in church. And like I said, no matter what happens, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what happens. If you lose everything tomorrow, will you still serve the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said, what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If the Lord be God, as Joshua told them, if the Lord be God, then serve Him. And if He isn't, then go ahead and serve whatever it is that has your heart. Because whatever you do, I think this is important. We need to stop trying to have the best of both worlds.
True.
Amen? Jesus said be either cold or hot. Get one way or the other. But stop playing monkey business with God. And so, tonight, are you set that you're going to serve the Lord no matter what? If you lose your job tomorrow, are you going to serve the Lord? If you lose your spouse tomorrow, are you going to serve the Lord? If you lose a loved one, are you going to still serve the Lord? No matter what happens to you, is your first priority and commitment to the Lord. That is so important because I'm going to tell you something. Your joy will be sucked out of your life if the joy of the Lord is not your strength.
That's right.
If you get your strength from money, if you get your strength from your family and your joy from your family, if you get your joy from that job you've got, if you get your joy from them grandkids that you've got, if you get your joy, I don't care what it is you get your joy from, if you do not get your joy from the Lord, it eventually will not last.
Right.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to have a verse of invitation tonight. Verse of invitation. God's doing with your heart tonight. Look, this is the time to serve the Lord. What will you and I do? Will we serve the Lord or will we serve other gods? And when I say other gods, look, We're not confronted with the Ammonites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. In our lives, there are often times where we put other things before God. And tonight I ask, are you going to stop that? And you're going to put the Lord first. Let's stand tonight. I hope the Lord's dealing with hearts tonight. I believe the Lord has laid this message on my heart. If God is dealing with you, if you know that you've been living an inconsistent Christian life in your family, and you want to make up your mind tonight, that's it, I'm done. I'm tired of this. I'm going to serve the Lord. You get things right with God tonight. What are we saying?
489.
If you're not saved tonight, the Lord wants to bring you to salvation. If you are saved, serve the Lord with more power than you ever served. Make your decision tonight. Get our hand to the plow and don't look back. I think of just during that song, I think of Lot's wife. And she turned back. She decided not to follow the Lord. And she turned back, and we all know what happened to her. I hope tonight you felt God's presence and felt His Spirit tonight.
Yes, we did.
All hearts and minds are clear. All I got to say is let's serve Him this week. Amen.
Amen.
Be busy serving.
Amen.
There's a work to do in this church in so many aspects. And let's get our hands and get them to working, all right? Any other announcements tonight? If not, we got family fun night downstairs. And encourage all of us to go and have some fun. I hope to not put on anything pink like I did last year. Amen. All right, let's go to God in a moment of prayer. And for this, Brother Richard, will you close us in prayer tonight?
Father, we're thankful for your presence with us through the day. Thank you that you've manifested yourself in a real way. Thank you for your goodness and blessings that's ours today to experience and to enjoy. Thank you for the joy that you've given to us. And Lord, about 45 years ago, we vowed an altar and committed our lives to you. Decided then that we were going to follow you, we were going to serve you. And we've had some down times, we confess that. But we never ever thought about not serving or not following you. Thank you that you've encouraged us along the way. And you've always been there when we've needed you. Thank you for your presence. And bless all of your people, we pray. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We didn't discuss that.
It's not really a test.
I read it and I can't tell you, Mary. I don't know what. Last night we went to that wild game dinner thing.
Yeah.
That deer chili there. was it good?
I had been there. Would have voted number one.
Well, they said that.
That's right. It was Dutch, remember?
Yeah.
I loved you.
You'd be 30
years old. All right.
If you can get a focus on the family or some of these other shows out there, you can get all of those shows and get interviewed.
That's kind of what I'm saying.